Continuing a series that we are doing on the I am sayings of Jesus that come through the Gospel of John. And today we are up to the saying of I am the gate. So I'm going to be reading today from the first 10 verses of John chapter 10. This is our third one of these that we've been through now in the way that Jesus reveals himself. And that's been the point of this series, that we live in a world where so many people say so many different things about who God is. And some of that accurately comes from Scripture, but others are pulling that out of here, there, or wherever of who they maybe want God to be, desire for God to be for them. But who God really is revealed to us in Scripture. So when we read these words of Jesus, we're reading how Jesus reveals himself to be for us and for our God, something that are words for us today. So these words of Jesus then from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this story then, that Jesus says something about what it means for him to be the gate, the way that we find the pasture, right? The blessing of God, that it comes through him and only through him, and what it means for him to operate in that way. And I think for this story to make sense, maybe it's something where we hear and recognize the voice of Jesus, but there's a picture that goes with it too, right? That he was telling a story in a setting where people would have immediately recognized the imagery that goes around that. What a gate would have looked like, what a sheep pen might have looked like back in those days. So a few pictures up here that show you the illustration of what Jesus is talking about when he says this. That they would build these sheep pens and have those stone walls that go around like that. Sometimes they would be right up against the side of a cliff or in a canyon, so they would use the natural walls of a canyon to surround that and build an opening. And then it would have one opening, one gate, one way in or out. And often, like you see in this picture, it would be just an opening. Not what we think of today as an actual door that would swing open and shut, but those sheep would go in and go out, and the shepherd himself would sit down right in that entryway. And the shepherd would act as the gate. So when Jesus says these words, "I am the gate," that was an image that would immediately make sense to the people who heard this. That they would immediately know what Jesus is talking about was something about what that gate would look like and how that works. So what does that look like in our day and in our culture? We're not shepherds. We don't have sheep pens. If we have yards with fences around them, often we have an actual gate that swings open and shut on that. And we don't really think of those things for the same reasons that they do. For security. For safety. Because you and I, we live in worlds where, you know, let's be honest. You and I live in communities where we are rather secure much of the time. We have houses with doors that can lock and deadbolt. It's not very often that some of us come around here and share stories of someone who comes in and breaks into our house. But we do live in a time and in a place where thieves and robbers and people who try to get at us in different ways in the time that we live in. You read an awful lot in the news today about cybersecurity, right? About the information that we have online. And how the new place where thieves and robbers hang out are not men and women in masks who sneak around at night, but they're hackers on computers who try to get in and get at our information. Maybe some of you don't use computers yet in that way, but for many of us, if not all of us, there are things that we do on our computers and with our phones and with our tablets that involve some personal information, right? Names, phone numbers, addresses, sometimes date of birth, that information. Sometimes we do our banking online, so credit card numbers and accounts. We file our taxes on computers. And that's the place where thieves and robbers go today. So if you're like me and you do that sort of thing, you try to protect those accounts, right? Put in passwords. And a lot of places now, with increasing attention going to cybersecurity, require more and more of that. That it's not just a password, but it has to be a special kind of password that is at least so many characters long. And, you know, it has to include at least one uppercase and a lowercase and a number and a symbol. And then how do I make a password like this? And how do I remember those things? And then they encourage you, don't use the same password over and over again. But now I have to remember how many passwords for how many different things. But all of these things come in place because that's where, in our culture and where we live now, that's where we're vulnerable to being hacked, where thieves and robbers hang out in those online accounts that we have. So when Jesus tells his story and he tells the people, no, I am the gate. I'm the one who secures. You know, I think for our time and in our culture, maybe it would be a story that Jesus would tell. He says, I'm the password. I am the 18-character, random-generated, cyber-secure, encrypted, two-factor authenticated password that nobody gets in or out of this account except through that. And that would have made sense. I mean, that makes sense for us in our day, in a way that the story Jesus tells about a gate makes sense for those people back in that day. Something about safety and security that we put up around us in that. So what does that look like? How does that work for us? What does this give us a picture then of who Jesus is and how we follow Jesus? How do we follow Jesus as that picture of being a gate, a place of security within that? John tells us in this gospel message that when Jesus says this, he says, his sheep recognize his voice. They recognize the voice of Jesus. They know who the gate is. They know what Jesus is telling them. They recognize it immediately. One of my kids earlier this week got a call from his grandma. Grandma got a new iPad, and this is the first Apple product that grandma's ever owned. She has no idea what to do with this. How do I set this up? What does this do? Can you come help me with? So he spends a little time over there this week helping grandma set up her new iPad. From step one, so I, like many of you, maybe I've had one of these for so long now that I instantly know exactly how an iPhone works or an iPad works or a computer works, but grandma's never done this, so this is step one kind of stuff. Grandma, you need an Apple ID with a password. Set that up, and then you set up a passcode that you can put in so it unlocks it every time you want to start. And you can put your fingerprint in there, too, to unlock it faster, right? And that's all brand new. Grandma's never done this before. Grandma doesn't know where to go with this. But for our kids, this is second nature, isn't it? That my kids have lived in a time and in a culture where they haven't known anything but smartphones and screens and tablets and things that do that. They know it like the back of their hand. It's almost automatic. Jesus is telling in this story that his sheep recognize his voice. It's automatic. They know. They know what the voice of Jesus sounds like because it's so much a part of their world. It's so much a part of their everyday. I do a lot of things on my phone. I keep my calendar on there, my contact list on there, all my appointments that are coming for the day. If I walk out of the house and misplace that or forget to bring it with me, my day is kind of all put in a different kind of skew that I can't remember then. All right, I know I'm supposed to have some appointments today. Who am I supposed to see? What order does that go in? And the context that I have of who to get a hold of and how are people going to get a hold of me then? When you forget to take your phone with you, it kind of throws the whole day off. Something critical is missing. You see, but for people who know and recognize the voice of Jesus, and that is so much a part of their day, that if you have a day where you miss that, it feels like something's off. Something's not right. It is so woven into the fabric of my everyday being to spend some time in the Word of God so that I know what the voice of God sounds like. I know what the voice of Jesus is. I know what His calling sounds like through His Word. And if I miss a day of that, just like if I leave the house without my phone, something's not right. Because it's that closely woven into my everyday activity in who I am and where I go. Jesus is giving us a way to follow here, a way to follow in which we hear and recognize and know His voice, His calling. He gives a specific target in this story. Right, as we read that in verse 1 of chapter 10, He specifically addresses the Pharisees. He's telling this to the Pharisees, the people who are not maybe what would have been considered the outsiders. Sometimes maybe we hear this story, this parable, and we think that, oh yeah, of course, all the people who know Jesus know His voice, anyone who is a part of a church or the Christian religion or has a Bible, anyone can know His voice. But Jesus is talking to other insiders, other people for whom the assumption was always there that they knew the voice of God. But He drives it a little further with them. To know the voice of Jesus, the calling of Jesus. To know the difference between the true voice of God and those who maybe would twist religion for their own purposes. Right? That it sounds good, but it's not really truly the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus that we hear in Scripture over and over again with commands for His disciples to love one another. With commands to His disciples to show mercy and compassion. With a prayer to His Heavenly Father that His church would be united as one. That these are the things that Jesus prayed for His people, for His church. These are the things that Jesus taught for His disciples. That Jesus, through His action, showed compassion and mercy for those who were pushed to the outside. That He went to those places to find people who are broken and hurting and invite them back in. These are the things that make up the voice of Jesus that we hear today. And we recognize and we follow in that way. But more than a way to follow, it also gives us a way to belong. That we have a way to belong in Jesus in this. That when the shepherd gathers his sheep, he does not leave them all scattered, but gathers them together. Right, that Jesus gives a picture and a story here of bringing his sheep together, of a place of belonging in gathering them together. So when I am a person then who seeks to hear the voice of Jesus and seeks to follow his way, I don't have to do that all by myself. That I have been gathered by Jesus, my shepherd, into a place, into a fold where there are others who are gathered with me. That I don't have to figure out all by myself how to follow Jesus. But I'm in a place where there are others who walk this journey with me. Others who have gone before me. Others who have heard the voice of Jesus for many years more than I have. Who show the way. Who point towards Jesus in the lives that they live. Who encourage and support one another here in this place. As we do that, we find a place to belong in our calling to answer Jesus, to follow Him. And so the question that leaves us with then as we consider that is a question like this. Who are those others around me who help me to hear and to understand the way of Jesus? Who are those people in your life? How do those people help you within that? How do they help you to know and understand the calling of Jesus when you hear it? Who are those people who maybe correct us along the way when maybe we stumble or lose our way? Who are those ones who call us back again the way Jesus kept calling back again those who wander far from Him? That we find those people here because Jesus gathers us together as we follow Him. It gives us a way to belong here, a way to belong where when any one of us maybe has questions, when any one of us maybe struggles in what it means to follow Jesus, when any one of us has moments where our faith is shaky, and we all face moments in life where that happens, that there are others here who can guide those steps forward. Others here who have gone before us. When Grandma got a new iPad and she didn't know what to do, the best thing that she did was call up someone who did know what to do. Right? You've been through this before. Come help me set this thing up. Come help me know what to do here. Come help me know how to understand how this thing works. The best thing to do when we find ourselves in a place where maybe we don't know what to do next to follow God. We don't understand how God is working through our lives. We don't understand where faith is supposed to take us, is to find that other person who can help direct those steps, who's maybe been there before, who can give us a little guidance on that. That's finding a way to belong when we hear the voice of Jesus call. But what's the takeaway then? Where do we go with that from a place like today? How did Jesus expect his listeners to respond to this? Because he always tells stories, he tells parables, looking for a response from the audience. How are people supposed to respond? You know, there are two features in this story that strike me. Two takeaways that I see as unique in this parable. One of the things that we see in this parable is an expectation that the sheep will know and recognize the call of Jesus. Right? In the way Jesus tells the story, he just assumes that part to be true. My sheep know my voice when I call. They know the voice of the shepherd. There is an expectation here that those who follow Jesus know his voice, recognize his call. So when we think about that, is then a way to go forward. And we see people around us, people in our communities, people in our neighborhoods, people that we work with, people for whom maybe we're on a rec softball league with them, or we see them at the gym, or wherever that may be. People who maybe aren't even listening for the voice of Jesus. They're not even tuned into that, even though Jesus is calling. How can we help lead them? Who are those people who are in our lives? Who can I help point towards Jesus as he is calling? And there are others who are trying to do everything that they can to distract themselves from listening, to distract themselves in other directions so that they don't hear and listen to the voice of Jesus that's calling them. Who are those people that I can reach out to, that I can show that I can demonstrate through the words that I have, through the way that I live, through the actions that I strive to do to follow the ways of Jesus, that Jesus would somehow work through us as his people to point others to him? Who are those people that we see around us that we can help lead to the voice of Jesus as he is calling them and take them along the way to that? You see, because in this expectation that sheep will know and recognize the call of Jesus, there comes along with that perhaps a task and a responsibility of helping others to hear and to know the call of Jesus. That he gives something of a job to the sheep, that we would help others to know that as well. That's one thing that strikes me about this parable. The other thing that I see in this that is striking is that Jesus is the only gate, right? In the pictures that we saw there of the sheep pens, there's only one way in and one way out. And Jesus says he is the only gate to that. There is no other way, right? There's no hidden tunnel. There's no secret passage to get around some other way. There's no VIP ticket to the club level entrance where you get the special box seats. There's no fast pass wristband that gets me up to the front of the line so that I can get on board the roller coaster before everybody else. There's nothing like that. There's one way and only one way. And everybody gets in that same one way. And that one way is only Jesus. Only Jesus. His grace then. His grace is freely given for all who come to seek him. Freely given for all who come to seek. It means then that all those other things that maybe I try to do to prove myself worthy. God, look, I show up to church every week and I give and I go to a Bible study and I pray and I do my devotions. God, I do all of those things. Those things are not gates. They don't get me into anything. Jesus is the only gate. It's the only way. Maybe some of those things I do, I put up as standards for others. All right, if you want to be a part of this community, then you've got some hoops to jump through. You've got to show me that you have know and understand how to live the way that we expect you to know and understand how to live. I set up other gates, but Jesus is the only gate. There's no other hoops to jump through. And Jesus invites all to come. Jesus says that anyone who seeks him will be found by him. And it is the only way. The only way. And that's good news for us today. Good news because we can't find any other way in. Even though we think we try, there is no other way. But Jesus invites us into his presence through him alone. When we set up those standards and think other people need to jump through those hoops, and pull all that out of the way, because Jesus is the only way to come to him. And we've seen through the other I Am stories we've looked at so far that Jesus never turns away those who seek him. Never. So as we come to him today, we hear his voice, hear his call that we will be found by him. Guaranteed. Every time. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Lord, we confess that, yeah, often there are times where we try to set our own secret ways in, our own secret club, our own way of doing things. Lord, we confess that often we've tried to build our own resumes that show the ways that we think we get in and deserve your favor. Lord, we confess that sometimes we have put those things up as barriers for others, and we've kept people out because they have not met our standards. Lord, forgive us for that, and remind us again that you are the only way, that because of what you have done on the cross for us, that we all now have a place in your family. So as we respond to you then, may we respond with words of gratitude for the grace you've given to us. And may we hear your voice call that we may be found by you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.